Chapter 53. The Dwarf's Request. Nettlebrand's armor lay in a huge pool of gold, looking like a cast-off snakeskin. Snowflakes hissed as they melted on its surface. Greenish fumes drifted out past the teeth in the monster's half-open jaws. His eyes were dark now, like extinguished lamps. Stepping carefully, the two dragons waded through the liquid gold to see what was left of their enemy. Lola whirred past them and landed on the molten armor. When the rat opened her cockpit with a sudden jerk, Twiglek put his head out from his shelter behind the back seat and gazed incredulously at what had once been his master.
"Well, take a look at that,"
said Lola, hopping down onto one wing.
"Nothing but tin, that creature. Like one of the human machines, right?"
She tapped the gold, which was still warm.
Sounds hollow."
Twiglek, wide-eyed, peered out of the cockpit.
"It'll show itself now," he whispered.
"What'll show itself?"
Lola sat on the side of the wing, dangling her legs. But the homunculus did not answer. Transfixed, he was staring at Nettlebrand's open mouth, from which green vapors were still rising.
"What are you waiting for, Twiglek?" asked Firedrake, coming slowly closer. "Nettlebrand is dead."
The homunculus looked at him.
"Were the ravens dead?"
he asked.
"No, they turned back into what they'd been all along. What kind of creature did the alchemist use to make Nettlebrand? He couldn't give him life because he couldn't really create life. He could only borrow it from some other living creature."
"Some other living creature?"
Sorrel shifted uncomfortably on Firedrake's back.
"You mean something's about to crawl out of there?"
She pulled at the straps.
Come on, Firedrake, we can watch this from a safe distance, can't we?"
But the dragon did not move.
"What kind of creature, Twiglek?" he asked.
"Oh, there aren't many creatures whose life you can borrow as you might a warm jacket," said the homunculus, never taking his eyes off Nettlebrand's muzzle.
The others looked at one another, puzzled.
"Well, don't keep us in suspense, Hompelkas,"
said Lola, raising her paws.
"Is the fight over or not?"
"There,"
whispered Twiglek, without looking at her. He leaned forward and pointed.
"Look at that. Here comes Nettlebrand's life."
A toad hopped out of the half-open mouth. It landed with a splash in the pool of gold, jumped out again in alarm, and hopped up on the snow-covered stone.
"A toad?"
Sora leaned down from Firedrake's back, an incredulous expression on her face. The toad looked at her with golden eyes and began croaking uneasily to itself.
"Nonsense, Hampelkas," said Lola. "You're joking. The monster swallowed that toad at some point. That's all it is."
But Twiglek shook his head.
"Believe me or not as you like, but the alchemist was good at making something terrible out of a tiny creature."
"Should we catch it, Twiglek?" asked Firedrake.
No. The homunculus shook his head again.
"The toad's harmless. Nettlebrand's wickedness came from our creator, not the toad itself."
Sorrel wrinkled her forehead.
"A toad! Fancy that!"
Suddenly she grinned at Twiglek.
"So that's why you didn't want the dragon fire to touch you? You were made from a hoppity old toad like that, right?"
Twiglek looked at her with annoyance.
"No,"
he replied, sounding hurt.
"I was probably made from something much smaller, if you must know. The alchemist preferred woodlice or spiders for beings my size."
So saying, he turned his back on Sorrel. Firedrake and Maya carried their riders over to the pool of liquid gold. The toad watched them go. It didn't move, not even when Ben and the brownies climbed down from the dragons and went to the edge of the golden pond for one last look of what remained of Nettlebrand's armor. The toad hopped away only when Lola revved the engine of her plane. Sorrel was going to follow it, but Firedrake gently held her back with his muzzle. "Let it go," he said, and turned around. Something small was scurrying through the snow toward him. Something stout with a large hat and a shaggy beard. It threw itself flat on the floor in front of Firedrake and Maya, wailing pitifully,
"Have mercy silver dragons, have mercy on me. Grant me one wish. The greatest wish of my life. Grant me my wish or my heart will be eaten away by longing for the rest of my wretched days.
Isn't this Nettlebrand's little spy? Asked Maya in surprise. Gravelbeard struggled to his knees and looked timidly up at her.
I did not spy of my own free will. He made me do it. Honest.
Ha! Liar! Said Twiglet, clambering out of the rat's plane. You sneaked off to him of your own free will in the first place, out of pure greed for gold. If it weren't for you, he'd never have heard of Firedrake.
I'm a dwarf, right? Okay.
Muttered Gravelbeard, tugging at his beard.
Look around you, Twigleg interrupted him. You can bathe in his gold now. How about that?
Is that your wish? Firedrake stretched and looked down at the dwarf, frowning. Come on, out with it. We're all tired. But Gravelbeard shook his head so hard that his hat almost fell off.
No. I am not interested in gold anymore, he cried. Not a bit. I couldn't care less about it. What I want, he said, spreading his stumpy arms wide. What I want is to stay in this cave. That's my wish.
He looked hopefully at the two dragons.
What for?
Asked Berber Chan suspiciously.
I'd like to make it even more beautiful, whispered Gravelbeard.
He looked around him reverently.
I'd like to bring the stones hidden here to light, very, very carefully, very slowly. I can see them, you know. I can hear them whispering on the walls, inside of columns, tiny tap here, thin shaven taken off a rock there, and they'd be shining, sparkling, all the colors of the rainbow.
He sighed and closed his eyes.
Oh, it would be wonderful.
Murmured Berber Chan. Doesn't sound like a bad idea. But the dragons must decide. Firedrake yawned, looked at Maya. The she-dragon was so tired that she could scarcely keep on her feet. She had breathed out so much fire that for the first time in her life, she felt cold. I don't know, she said, glancing at the stone dragons. I don't need this cave anymore, now that I don't have to hide from the golden one, but what about them? Won't his hammering disturb them? Gravelbeard looked around.
Who do you mean?
He asked uneasily. Come with me, said Firedrake, offering the dwarf his tail. Hesitantly, Gravelbeard settled between the spines, and Firedrake carried him around the huge pool of gold and over to the dragons who had turned to stone. Maya and the others followed them.